When he came to his disciples, this is from the mountain, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them, and straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him, and he asked the scribe, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son." This is a dad bringing his son to Jesus. "I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Smart man took his son to Jesus and said, Lord, help us. Smart man. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Great statement, great statement. Honest man, honest man. I've felt like that. Hadn't you felt like that before? Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. In other words, you believe, but then there's still a part of you that's doubting at the same time. I know how that feels, don't you? We all do. When we get ready to pray, Lord, I believe, but then there's something in you saying, oh, no, I don't know about that. If he's really going to do this or not. Are you really going to help us or are you not going to? I believe, but I don't really believe all that I could believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And Jesus saw that the people running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. When a dad and his lad met Jesus. You can't stay on the mountaintop all the time. So Peter, James, and John had to come down with Jesus to the scene of a tragedy, of humiliation, of defeat, of despair. And they came down and they found this crowd of people there waiting on him. And some were saying this and some were saying that. And people saying, well, you don't know. Yeah, I do. Well, no, yeah, why didn't you do it? And they were just arguing among them. And it all centered around this one man who brought his son there. And it just so happened he had took him to the disciples and they couldn't do nothing with him. I imagine they tried to cast out that evil spirit out of this young man, but evidently the power of God was not on them in such a way that it could happen. Jesus said they need to pray and fast a while before they attempted to get rid of that type of, take up that kind of situation. In other words, the disciples did not have the power that they needed. This is true in a lot of churches today. People come to our churches desperate need of help, and a lot of times we don't have the power to get them delivered and then criticizing them for not getting right with God. The church has to be in a situation and a position. Many times, you know why so many people get saved at youth rally? Because we labor and travail and pray and fast, and we're in a position to birth kids into the family of God. And a church has to be able to do that. I remember one time, you remember the story over there in Acts where Peter looked at that fellow and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. Peter had something to give that fella. They said one time on the Catholic Pope was taking somebody and show them all the riches of the Catholic Church. And he showed on there and he said, well, he said, we've come a long way, friend. He said, no longer does the church have to say, silver and gold have I none. And the fellow looked back at him and he said, yep, that's right. But no longer can the church say, rise up and walk either. And what we need today is that power to be able to say, rise up and walk to a lost sinner. Now, this morning I want to talk to you about when this dad and his lad met Jesus. First of all, the dad's responsibility. He realized that he was the father of that boy. He realized that something had to be done to help his son. All you daddies is up here a minute ago. Won't you listen to me for a minute? It is your responsibility to make sure your kids come to Jesus Christ. I didn't say your wife, but your mother. I didn't say your preacher. I said you. You have a responsibility before God to make sure your kids are in church and to make sure your kids are saved. Daddies, all you daddies up here a while ago, God's going to hold you responsible for making sure all your family is saved by the grace of God. I know he was living in a crazy world just like we are. He is living in a world that was messed up politically just like we are. He is living in a world that's messed up socially just like we are. He realized that he was facing political earthquakes and economic crisis and social decay, but he still brought his boy to the Lord Jesus Christ. We was up in New York City the other day, and they was talking about this place is going to have this big party. And they are planning the biggest party in the history of the world on December 31st, 1999. We've never lived to see the end of a century. We've never lived to see the end of a millennium. And they're going to bring in the new age, as they call it, with the largest, biggest, wildest party that this world's ever seen. The tickets to walk in the door are $1,000. They're already sold out, and 3,000 people on the waiting list waiting to be able to get in case somebody dies. Nearly 4 years from now. The world is messed up. They're partying their way to hell this morning. People out here in McDowell County, you know why they don't want to get right with God? Because they like that beer and they like that dope and they like that illicit sex and they like all that stuff so much that they say, I'm just not willing to give it up in order that I might come to Jesus. But this man had enough sense to realize that if his boy was ever going to get help, he would have to come to Jesus Christ. I got news for you this morning. There's only one hope for our kids. There's only one hope for our boys and our girls. Bring them to Jesus, friend. He's the only one that can help them. Amen. The dad's responsibility. He teach them and be an influence on them. Dads don't realize what an influence they have on their kids. You know, I didn't realize after my daddy was dead, the stuff I picked up from him. Ways of thinking, ways of looking at things. Unconsciously, you get up from your dad. It's not like a daddy sits down and teach kid, now you do this, this, this. It's just by daily a life in front of them, you pick up things. I've noticed that spending little investment of fun kids will mean more to them than buying them something. A lot of parents say, well, I'll just buy you a bicycle. Here, get out of my hair for a while. And now, a kid might like it at first, but you know what they remember? They remember things you did with them. And that's where we fail a lot of times as daddies. You know, yesterday was Carissa's birthday, and so I spent some time with the girls yesterday, and we built a swimming pool in the backyard and jumped in the swimming pool. We had one of those little round pools, you know, that sat on top of the ground, and it was so messed up, we just pushed it off in the woods and dug a hole and put one in the hole. And it's kind of a little bit cloudy, but we jumped in there yesterday. And my youngest daughter, Corey, jumped on me and she said, Daddy, she said, I want you to be Shamu. And I said, for a minute I didn't know what she was talking about. And you know Shamu, the big whale down there at Orlando, at SeaWorld, whatever that place is. She said, don't you be Shamu. And I forgot about it, but about 2 years ago, Shamu, what he does is he rides around in the water, and he's just barely sticking up out of water, and those girls ride him like this, you know, they're sitting on him. And they go by and wave at the crowd when they go around. I said, oh, I know what you're talking about now. So I got down like this, and she got on my back. And you get, you know, about where your head's underwater. And so I started going shamooing around the pool, around like that. You know, and she was waving. And you know what? I got thinking. I thought, you know, that didn't cost a penny, but she remembered that more than she did what I bought her for her birthday. Or more of that. And boy, I feel guilty of that because a lot of times we don't invest just little things like playing around the house with our kids. It means more to them than whatever you can give them material. People say, well, I'm going to work and I'm going to give my kids this and I'm going to give them a car and I'm going to give them that. Well, that's fine, but you know what they want? They want a little time and attention from their daddy more than they need any of that stuff. Amen? And she made a card this morning. Y'all seen the card she made me, buddy, for shamooing around there a little bit. I'm glad y'all didn't see me doing that. But did you know something? She made me a card this morning, best dad, credit card, all the world, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I got another one, best dad, and all the world. You know what they bought me for Father's Day? A wheelbarrow, man. A wheelbarrow. Of all the insulting things you can do. She come up there the other night carrying the back of her car and a wheelbarrow. I mean, here's your Father's Day present. I said, what's this, a hint? You know, I mean, I know our yard's all messed up. We got dirt all over the backyard. I said, you wait, your birthday comes, I'm going to buy you a mop. I didn't tell her that. That's what I thought. Well, you get your big broom for Christmas. But I want to tell you something, brother. Listen, you know what our kids need? They need dad just to put a little interest in them. Put a little interest in them. My dad wasn't saved when I was growing up. Dad didn't get saved until he was just a few years before he died. And I remember, I don't even remember seeing my daddy when I was little. And I know he loved us because he always provided for us. He's always off going here, going there, doing this, doing that. And I just remember a few things that we did when I was little and it helped me. We don't want to make the same mistake. It's not how much time. You say, well, I'm busy and I'm gone a lot. Well, you ain't no busier than me, and I'm gone probably as much as anybody in here more. But you know what? It's not how much time we spend with them. It's what we make out of that little bit of time we got. You can have 30 minutes and really put into it and make something special out of it if you'll do it. This dad took time to influence his boy and bring him to Jesus. This dad didn't say, all right, now go on to bed. There's a ball game or a movie I'm going to watch. He went in there, took that boy to Jesus, got down and prayed with him. That's what a daddy's supposed to do. Dad's responsibility. In spite of his disappointment, Jesus told him, this is Father's Day for you, and this is your day. Now, whether we want to admit it or not, and no matter what the women's liberation movement says about it, God placed the husband and man at the head of the home. Be jealous of that, ladies. People say, well, that's not fair. Why does God put the man? God's got it evened out. He's got it evened out. He's the one going to have to answer for it. So that puts more pressure on him. All you got to do is just be sweet and nice and back him up, forward him, and do what's supposed to. He's going to answer to God for how that family grew up. He's going to answer to God for where you went to church. He's going to answer to God for how you studied the Bible and what you've learned and that man of that home is. According to that, some of you men better get on the ball. If it wasn't your wife, you wouldn't even be here this morning. Now, some men abuse that, and they're mean to their family, and that's wrong. Other men are sway back the other way, and they're the bottom of the family, and mama bosses them around. I care about that one fellow. He's a hen peck. He roosts on the end of the bed at night. Don't even get to lay down in it. I've known some like that. But see, kids are smart, and you got to realize they'll try you. They'll try you. Dad has a responsibility with them kids. Like that little boy's going to sleep. He said, son, you got to sleep. He said, daddy, you know how they do. Anybody who's got kids knows how they do. As soon as you put them in the bed, they done run all of that. As soon as they lay down, what do they say? I want a drink of water. Don't yours do that? As soon as you put them in the bed, man, why didn't you get your water before you laid down? I want a drink of water. Say, shut up and go to sleep. About 5 minutes later, Daddy, can I have a drink of water? I said, listen, you hush. You had a chance to get a drink of water. I'm not getting you a drink of water. About 5 minutes later, Daddy, can I have a drink of water? Listen, if you say that one more time, I'm going to come in there and spank you. 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Daddy, all right, son, I told Daddy, when you get up to spank me, would you bring me a drink of water? You ever heard that? That's the way kids are. He realized his kid was a little crook. Did you know a lot of parents don't realize that? Many parents have veneered and varnished and smoothed over their child's depravity. And brother, they say, well, it's not really that bad. Do you know a lot of parents think that their kids are all right and they're just wonderful? They're not. They're not. I don't know who you think you are that you could produce a good kid. Your kids are not good without Jesus Christ. Mark it down. Mark it down. You say, well, my little child, he's just the best little thing. You are blind. Your grandmother blindness and that grandfather blindness is worse than mother and dad. I'm telling you, your kid needs Jesus. They all need Jesus. They all need Jesus. Nowadays they're trying to say, well, my kid is this and my kid. You've seen these little things go, my kid is a honor roll student. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that. That's nice. But you know what we're trying to do? Make our kids look real good. I saw the Honest bumper sticker. The Honest bumper sticker. Some old redneck car, you know, going sideways and said, my child beat up your honor roll student. I like that one a whole lot better. That's really more true to life, isn't it? That's really more true to life. The truth is, them kids need the Lord. Kids need the Lord. Not my little darling. Yes, sir, your little darling. Your little darling needs the Lord. He may not... Listen, this boy here had a demon. And I ain't got time to give you a lesson on demon possession this morning. But you know what that thing done with that boy? It throwed him in the fire and it throwed him in the water. Did you know that demons have an obsession with fire and water? And did you know why the wildest places in the world are right beside the water? And people love to go to the beach and build a fire and watch the fire burn and look at the water behind it? I want to tell you, brother, this demon spirit tore that boy and threw him down. And that father said, my child's only hope is Jesus Christ. Education can't help him. Daddy, I'm glad that Daddy didn't try to blame the environment that his child was raised in for his condition. He didn't say, well, my boy was raised around a bunch of boys who get thrown in the fire and thrown in the water and gnash at the foam at the mouth and all that. It's just the environment. He's a victim of society. That's what they all say in New York City now. Well, man, we's raised like this, man. We go out and kill each other because that's all we know how to do. That's a bunch of bull. A man kills somebody because he's got a murder in his heart. He didn't blame his environment. He didn't blame his environment. He said, he needs Jesus! You know what you can do with a pig? You can take a pig out of a mud hole and you can take him in, take him out at the garage and hook up a water hose and get you a big bunch of soapy water and scrub him with soap. I mean scrub him and hose him down real good. And just do that two or three times and get him smelling real good and put powder all over him and tie a ribbon around his neck. And you can make spray some something on him. Is that women like Charlie or something? Or Guess for ladies or something like that. And spray it all over that little pig. And boy, he'll be just so sweet. You can just put your nose up to him and he'd smell so good and sweet. And you let him go out in the yard and you know what he'll do? He'll go right back and jump in that mud. That's right. You know what you can do with people? You say, well, our environment, we're victims of society. All that. You can take people out of the places where they live and put them in a brand new apartment, give them a color TV and put carpet on the floor and give them a check for $500 a week, and they'll go right back and stick a needle in them again, and they'll go right back. You know why? You know why? Because you can't blame your environment for what's in here. It's in here, man. It's in here. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can help that. He can help you and give you a new life. It ain't from the outside coming in. It's from the inside going out. You got to get changed in here. The average home this morning has beer in the refrigerator where milk should be. Has a deck of cards on the table where the Bible's supposed to be. Has cigarettes on the desk where the tithing envelopes ought to be. Sex magazines on the shelf where good Christian literature ought to sit. Jesus Christ is the only answer for our home. Christian dads are the hope of this world. He came to the Lord that day and he said, Jesus, help us. You listening to me this morning, folks? That man came to the Lord and he said, Jesus, help us. That's what some of you men here need to do this morning. He said, I just don't know what I'm going to do, preacher. My family's all messed up. My kid can't do nothing with that boy, that girl. You know what you need to do? You need to come up here this morning and say, Jesus, help us. That's the only time that boy ever got straightened out. The disciples couldn't do it. I can't do it this morning. I'll go talk to Brother Danny and he'll help me get my problems straightened out. I can't do it. I can't do it. But I can tell you something this morning if you'll come to him and just say, Lord, help us. I can promise you help's on the way. That's when a dad and his dad met Jesus. Let's stand, bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you to bow your heads now just for a moment and close your eyes. This is very important. This is very serious. Christians are praying. Two kinds of dads here this morning. One dad is saved on his way to heaven and just struggling with problems and burdens of life. The other dad here this morning has never really been saved. That you want to talk to just for a minute, friend. Why don't you come to Jesus? Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There ain't a church can save you. There ain't a preacher can save you. There ain't a denomination can save you. But Jesus Christ can save you this morning. We've already got some. Come this morning. Dad, bring your boy to Jesus. Bring your boy to Jesus. Amen. There's a dad and a boy already right there this morning. Lord, help us. Lord, help me with my boys. Little boy looked up to his dad one time and he said, Daddy, I'm going to be like you. Boy, it shocked man. Shocked him. They're looking at you. Daddy, I'm going to be like you. How about it, dads? We ought to fill this altar here this morning and say, God, help me. Jesus, help me. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you bless this invitation this morning. I pray for some dad here this morning to meet Jesus. I pray for some dad here this morning to give his life and heart, problems, everything to you. Bless us now this morning, Lord. We do love you. Help us through the burdens and problems of life. And help us, Lord. There's some things we need in our life, Lord, that only you can do. And we ask you to do it for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.